On this episode of the Real Mentors Podcast, we continue where we left off on part one of our TV greatest comedy and drama series. Now, I warned you there were some spoilers ahead, so if you haven't seen any of these shows, catch up on them and make sure we don't spoil it for you. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope to catch you next time on the next episode of the Real Mentors Podcast. And now on with the show next.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll give it to MASH. Okay. And I'll give it to I'm gonna throw an oddball in here.
Okay.
I like to throw these curveballs. I'm gonna give it to Miami Vice.
Wow. Okay.
Let's talk Miami Vice
for a second. I wouldn't put Miami Vice in that level. But again, growing up in the '80s and Miami,
that was
a great show. I mean, it's probably terrible.
You know, the funny thing.
I'm sure it doesn't hold up, but
the funny thing is that people still think that Miami is just that. The beach, and that's it. Nothing else. Just because they saw Miami Vice. So everybody, you live at the beach?
It was an influential show. I'll give you that. Because everybody wanted to wear a stupid pastel shirt and a jacket.
And
Phil Collins, the song was great.
Yeah, and you're like, how close are you to the beach?
And at the beginning of the show,
is that close to the beach?
That great intro song that it had.
And by Jen Hammer.
Yes, and it had the girls walking in a bikini. Yeah. It was typical Miami at the time, I guess, what people thought of it anyway. But that's a good show. But
I just remember, like, I got sent to Norway, and when I was in the military, we took our fighter squadron there, and I was there, and you're just meeting people, and they're like, where are you from? And they're like, Miami, and they're like, oh, Don Johnson.
Basically,
these are people that basically don't speak any English, but they know Don Johnson.
Oh, they do. There's Crockett and Tubbs. Right. Sonny Crockett. And he goes, he had the bow with the crocodile or the alligator, whatever it was. It was a good show. I'm not going to
say. What was his crocodile? I'm going to say. About the alligator's name?
Oh, man. Elvis, I think.
Is
Elvis.
It?
Yeah, I think so.
Pikachu, get on it. let's find out what this show. But The Wire is one I think is definitely worth discussing. I think, Mike, you've been talking about it too. Yeah. And then I think you mentioned it was 5 years ago, would have been your top dog. Am I wrong?
I think so. If 5, 6 years ago, it would be.
That show is fantastic. Yeah.
I thought that they did a good job of injecting reality and a different point of view into the police procedural, which I really liked. Mm-hmm. So you not only saw great cops, you saw bad cops, you saw bent cops, you saw bent politicians, you saw people that were trying to do a good job and got bent. You saw the good side of bad guys. You saw... That's what I like. There's a reason why everybody's there. You like Bodhi, when Bodhi got killed at the end of the first season. Spoiler alert.
That's true. Yeah. You know what? A lot of these shows when it reach heavy spoiler. So in case you hear a show and you haven't seen it, get out of it.
The reason why I'm mentioning it is it's just you invest in a lot of these characters, even if they're criminals like Stringer Bell or whomever. It's you invest in these characters, and watching Bodhi get killed is sad to me, because even though he was hanging with a bunch of crooks, you enjoyed the character, and having them kill him in episode 9 or whatever it was, which set up episode 9 issues for Game of Thrones too. But something big always happened in episode 9, and you just bought into this, and it's a great show. And every year it was a different storyline.
It's a slow burn. Right. I think it's just one of the ones you have to get through the first season.
But it
pays off great. And that's I can't recommend the show enough. If no one has seen that show, they have to see that show. That's great.
The theme to the show, David Simon, by the way, was a showrunner for the show. And he also was responsible for Homicide: Life on the Streets. And I think one of those Law and Order related things. So I think Criminal
SVU.
I think it was Criminal Intent. But the guy's very good, and the guy was from Baltimore, and he set the show. No show was ever set in Baltimore except maybe Hairspray. So
Jesus.
Sorry, man.
Wow.
John Waters.
Yeah. Went way back. Andrew, moving to you, man. What's one of your honorable mentions for a dramatic show?
I was going to give you Band of Brothers. Okay. You know, if you want to go there.
I don't, but it's a good show.
No, it was in some of the lists that I was looking at, you know, mm-hmm. for research, whatever. It was one of the top high rated. It wouldn't know it was a series, you know, and it was like it wasn't like seasons or whatever.
Right.
It was a 9.5, you know, like a smart rating or whatever. But
was that really an actual? That wasn't like a TV.
It was more like a
mini series on TV.
Yeah,
show,
it was
right?
more like a okay. series more yeah. than anything else.
It was a mini. It was a limited mini series.
Yeah,
but it was still pretty good.
That was good.
It was Band of Brothers. Yeah. Like, it
actually
was
got a lot of actors out of that show too.
Yeah, so I mean, that was
it's
one of those.
Show. It's a good show. Well, it was a good, what I already call it, miniseries.
And then, you know, obviously, if you want to go X-Files, you know, like, that's one of those.
Okay, that's an interesting choice.
Yeah.
That's actually a pretty good show. Yeah, I like that one. I wasn't a huge fan. I liked the show. I just never got into it.
Yeah, and then, you know, Mulder and, you know, like, all the conspiracy
theories. The truth's out there and all that.
The truth is out there, all that stuff.
Like I said, I didn't watch the show, like, religiously. But a lot of people love that show. But, I don't know.
And then, I mean, you know, for the favorite one.
Not my favorite. Hold off on your favorite.
You're going to steal. The favorite is we both have.
Right. Well,
actually thinking about throwing in CSI.
Okay.
You know, like, you know, changing it. You know, because, I mean, I didn't want to discuss with Breaking Bad, whatever, you know, that we you said. Mm-hmm. So I wanted CSI Vegas, you know, just because of what, you know, I used to watch it all the time. You know, maybe I was one of the few, I guess, in this table. but, you know.
That's not true. We heard of it.
CSI Vegas to me when they had Gil Grissom in it, you know.
Again, I saw a couple episodes
because Ted Danson later on decided to go in. And he was the head of CSI.
Convince us, why is the show that good?
I mean,
what makes the show that good?
It set the standard for crime shows. You know, like I mean, it was
it's a bold statement, but go on, continue.
No, I mean, it was just like, you know, the way that they showed advancements toward, you know, like DNA and, you know, ID and the way that they catch criminals, and it brought like another face of how to do things, you know, like another perspective, you know, like of science that they weren't doing before, you know, with identification or trying to follow the clues and try to follow, you know, crime labs and stuff like that. You know, like there was other ways of you to getting caught, not just, you know, following the evidence and following the trail. Like there wasn't a show like that, you know, prior to that show. So, you know, it's, you know, like you were talking about 48 hours, mm-hmm. you know, like you were talking about the first 48.
Or the best 48.
Well, yeah. okay, fine. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like the first 48. Yeah, like the first 48, I mean, CSI kind of brought into that. Then they tried the CSI Cyber, which really didn't work because it was more.
But they're like three or four of them? Miami and New York.
First, Vegas was the original one.
Right, right.
And then when it became popular, then they tried CSI Miami with David LaRusso.
Caruso.
Yeah. Then they tried with Vegas, you know, CSI Vegas.
New York
with Gary Sinise. Right.
And then they had the
one with the CSI Cyber, you know, which was like cyber crimes, you know, with the net and stuff like
that.
But
the one was any good?
With Arquette. You know, Patricia Arquette.
Were they as good as the other?
No. The original one was Vegas still. Like,
but that's, you know, the best one.
Yeah, that was the best one.
Did you guys see that show?
CSI Vegas?
No.
Not really, no. None of them.
Yeah. I enjoy CSI.
I'm a procedural guy. It's not for me. I didn't think. I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah,
I
like
two,
I said, it was just, you know, like, yeah, everybody goes for Breaking Bad. I saw Breaking Bad. Like, I saw The Walking Dead. You know, like that. You know, if you want to throw it out there.
No one's throwing it out, but not out in this conversation.
But, you know, I mean, yeah, but if you wanted, you know, some for at least the first season, how influential or whatever it was.
No, that's fair. Okay, I'm no problem with that. I get it.
If you want to go notables, I guess.
CSI is definitely on the tip of the spear for police procedurals.
And that's what it was. You know, like CSI.
Whether you like it or you don't like it, it's there.
Okay. Yeah, and there were a lot of people that hated, you know, that CSI because it didn't show a true portrayal, that it took too long for, you know, like in CSI, it took like maybe less than an hour to figure out the things, in real life it took longer.
In TV, you have to, you know, hello.
You have to be concise.
I mean, come on, exactly. There's people say,
there were a lot of people that hated it for that reason. That's, you know, like, dumb. Oh, it's not accurate portrayal. It takes longer. Nah. You know, I mean, with the whole, I hate to bring in O.J. Simpson here, but the whole blood evidence and all that stuff, right. You know, with the glove should not fit, you must have quit, you know.
Yeah, DNA testing takes weeks, I think, or something, or whatever.
But you see, like, they did all that, you know, like, they were, like, criminals beware, there's new ways of you getting caught than not just, you know, that. And CSI brought that into the table. Okay. You know, so it was in that sense, you know, like CSI showed a little different portrayal.
Okay, that's fair.
So, yeah, so that was why I enjoyed that aspect of it.
When I mentioned, it could have been the best show, but I think it faltered the last three or four seasons with Sopranos.
Okay.
That was a good show.
That
yeah.
Too, but I figured you would
That was one of the ones I think. And I think it's one of HBO's first shows, not the first show, but great cast. I love the whole aspect with the mob. People love the mob movies and TV and all that. I think that one really portrayed it well. I did for me, it focused too much on family the last 3 or 4 years. And at first, it was more like mob thing, and then the whole family just kind of.
I think they felt like they had to do groundbreaking crap. And I think whenever you try to force something like that.
Exactly. So just kept it simple. It's about the mob.
And the ending to the series, like everybody.
Oh, was an atrocity.
Yeah, like the ending, it was just that fade to black, and then like everybody was sorry, spoiler, whatever. Nobody's seen it.
Yeah, you just blew it.
Nice going, dude. We did give an early spoiler.
We did give an early thing about, hey, you know, we're gonna contain some spoilers here.
We did give a warning.
But you know, we did give the warning. Yeah. But anyway,
you have to put that in your preamble, brother.
Oh, I'll put it. Don't worry. But you know, I'll be like, hey guys, we're gonna be discussing some of that stuff. You know, so just be aware.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
My take on The Sopranos is it's a really good show.
It is.
There's some really cool things about it that are interesting. But I think that as the years go by, that it doesn't hold up as well. In the same aspects that The Wire doesn't hold up as well. Because there's advances in technology. So you kind of... I just don't think it's a great show. It's not the greatest show.
No, it's not. I know a lot of people argue for that show, which is why I mentioned as one of the greatest, if not the greatest.
Of the initial footsteps that it created in the snow, right? I mean, not because it's a great, great show.
People like it, though. I mean, I like it, too. Now, the first three years were fantastic. And I loved that show. I loved it. But then it just tapered off. I think it just, like I said, it refocused on what it was doing from the beginning. But it's people, if you look, check a lot of lists online, you're going to see Sopranos mentioned more times than not, top 5, top 10, easily.
I think it should be, but... Because of the groundbreaking stuff, more than.
But no, they're focusing on the actual show and the merits of the show itself. And then, I mean, again, that's, you know, that's not my opinion, but I mean, that's out there.
I think having a great show, there has to be iconic characters, there has to be iconic things happening, and there has to be groundbreaking storytelling. Do I think that all of that is there in this show?
No. I'm with you on that. It's not. It's a great show, though. I think so, anyway.
Disagree?
No, that opens up the conversation to something else as far as to, like, we kind of all started naming our best shows.
And I think I know what you're leading to. We'll say that part, because okay. I'm on your camp with that to that particular show. But I know where that's headed.
Well, not just particular show, but I'm saying, like, overall with our favorite TV show.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm surprised no one here has, you know, brought up Sons of Anarchy yet. You know,
first of all, we just relaxed. We just started. Let's calm down. We were out of time already again. Relax. The show, but yeah, Sons of Anarchy is a great show. I'm not saying it's all time, but I love it. It's the brutality, the graphic nature. Not that it was the first of its kind, because we've seen shows, which we'll talk about soon, that did that before. But I love Sons of Anarchy for what it was. Great performance, good acting. Even Charlie Hunnam, who sucks, but he's actually good in the show. You know, Peggy Bundy, which we talked about earlier.
That's right.
You know, she's great. What's this guy's who played Hellboy?
Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman. All that show is really good. Did you see it, Fabian?
No, I actually didn't see
it. I recommend that one. That's a really strong show.
I knew it was good before it even came out, because it was from the same guys who made another show.
Yes, we'll talk about it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
As soon as I heard about that, I was wanted to jump
Kurt
on
Sutter,
it.
Kurt Sutter, I think his name is.
I didn't get a chance. I had a lot of different other shows that I was watching. Oh, okay, at that
that's
time.
One. If you have time, that's to go back. It's a really good watch. It's really good.
He's married to Sagal. He's married to Peggy Bundy.
Oh, Peggy Bundy? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does Scott Baio do Peggy Bundy? Anyway. may have. Who knows, man?
No.
But
Pikachu. Put Pikachu on that.
Put Pikachu. She wasn't one of the.
She wasn't one of the list.
One of the notches on the belt. No. But Sons of Anarchy, that's a good. I mean, I'll discuss it. I don't think it's up there.
That's why,
you know,
even the one that he did later, The Executioner, and that other show that he did.
Right,
was on that too.
Yeah. Oh wow!
Another one I want to talk about, because when I was looking at the list, you know, prepping for the show, I did see Lost. a lot of this, and I don't get it. It's just me.
Did you guys like Lost?
Anybody Lost?
I'm going to say that I thought the first four episodes of Lost were very good.
Episodes or seasons?
Episodes.
Okay.
Once episode five hit and they didn't do anything different than they did in episode four, episode three, I was like, okay, I'm done with this.
Okay.
Because you can't keep stringing me down a road and not give me some kind of breadcrumb or something. Come on. And I think my biggest problem with that show is the characters weren't great and
agreed.
The storylines weren't great.
That show was a mess.
It was. I saw
half the season, and it was a great concept. It was really cool. I'll give it that much. But that show was flying by the seat of its pants because they had no. I'm huge on writing, so when I look at a show, I had told Peter this, and right. he's a huge of the show, and I told him that very first season, dude, don't watch the show because this is not going to end well.
Right.
They have no idea where they're going with the show at all. It's clear, and that's exactly what happened. They're just creating storylines, and at the end was a total disaster. And he called me out because I was going to go to his watch party with his friends, but he wanted me there because he knew I was going to fucking tell him, oh, I told you guys, they're going to hate me. He called me and said, dude, you were so right. I told you 6 years ago not to watch this show because it had no direction. It was a great concept. All guys in the plane. Right. And we just make stuff as we go along. But I don't know why people really like the show to begin with. It was a very popular show.
No, it got what I like to call X-Files stupid because they just put through so much crap.
It was garbage. Right? It was garbage.
And for no reason, just seeing things in the past. All kinds of just jokes.
It was a mess. Like, people love that show, though. And I guess a lot of lists had Lost up there.
I challenge anybody who watches, who loved that show, to put it up against any shows that any of us put in our all-time greats.
I'll rip it apart. Close. I agree 100%. I mean, I never got it. Did you see it?
No, I actually didn't have a friend. Okay. You're wise. She's a big TV fan. Okay. Like, she actually gives me recommendations.
Okay.
And that's one of her favorite shows.
So she don't take a recommendation from anymore?
No.
That was the last time you took a recommendation.
No, I didn't watch it. But kind of back up what you were saying about it had no direction, I think you and J.J. Abrams, and was he behind that? I think he produced it.
All right. He might direct it one episode, but he created it.
Right. Yeah. He was behind it. He was one of the producers or creators or whatever. Yeah. But even he admitted like a year or several years after the show was over that they wrote themselves into a corner.
Of course.
Yeah. And they didn't know how to get out.
Didn't he punch out after the first season or
something? He did. I think he did.
J.J. Abrams was the creator.
Yeah, he created. Yeah, he's a creative producer.
And had 32 others.
Yes, yeah, so I'm saying. I think he jump started the show, and he's like, "I'm out of here. I'm out." Like he did with Star Wars.
No, whenever you have writers stew like that, it's always a mess. Well.
It's a mess, and they had no idea. You gotta know where you're ending, so the show can progress towards that ending. Most shows, good shows, should have that anyway. If not, it's just a mess. We'll just come up with stuff as we go along, and hopefully it sticks. I don't get why the show is as popular. I never understood that, but that's a very popular show. Everybody's watching the stupid finale. That was like a big thing. I didn't get it. George,
I'm here to say I didn't watch it.
No, I didn't watch Lost either.
Oh, okay, there we go. So we're very wise men in his house. Except for the four or five episodes we have to watch, Mike. Mike, what about you? What's an honorable mention out there?
Well, one I want to bring up and one that like a lot of people don't talk about because it just kind of got buried by the fact that there's some other great shows is Deadwood. I think Deadwood is a great show.
Yes.
I think Al Swearingen is one of the greatest characters in the history of TV. And I was so disappointed when he was in Game of Thrones.
What's his name? What's the actor's name?
Ian McShane.
McShane. God. Yeah, I love that guy. He's great. Yeah, and that's a really good underrated show. No, not many people have seen that show.
Let me tell you, strong show. I started that show not knowing anything.
Mm-hmm.
I found the DVD at a garage sale for, I want to say, $3. And somebody had said to me once, hey, you ought to watch that show. It's pretty good. This is before streaming TV or anything. So I saw it at a garage sale. I bought it for $3 and I got glued to it, man. Yeah. I was done. This was the first two seasons on DVD and I just plowed through them
in two days. Yeah.
And it's just a good show, and the way it's set up is neat, and the mythical historical characters in it from the Old West are amazing. It's a great show.
It really is. That's one like The Wire. That's one of the ones if I recommend a couple of shows, besides the ones we'll mention a little bit later, is those two. That was a really strong show if you haven't seen it. It's really good.
It's only two seasons, isn't it?
It's three, actually.
Three or four, yeah.
It's only 36 episodes.
It's two and a half episodes.
Yeah, two and a half seasons, really. But it's really good. And especially if that show, you can run through it really quick.
Right. And there's other shows that HBO has done that people say, oh, you know, you need to see this, you need to see that. You know, not to steal a line from Ed Wood, but bullshit. It's that show is a great show. Yeah. That show's better than Rome. That show's better than
I ain't like Rome, but yeah.
That show's better than Oz. That show's Oz is a good show, but it's not better than
Bold statement, but
no one here threw out that show on Stars. Remember that Spartacus? Yeah, the blood.
There's a reason why we didn't throw it on.
Yeah.
And why you shouldn't have thrown it on.
Ah, but I used to like that.
I'm sure it's a good show. That's a lot of good shows I like too, but I thought.
They're not worthy for that.
But one that we didn't talk about when you mentioned a favorite was MASH.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I know Mike is real. I don't know if you did you see that show when it was on
at the time. Huge MASH.
Okay, that's a good show. I've seen it on syndication.
A great big fan of the first five seasons. Mm-hmm. Once Larry Linville left the show, who played Frank Burns, Major Frank Burns, I think the show wasn't as good because there was some kind of crazy sexual tension between him and Hot Lips Houlihan in the show that made the show better. And once he left and the guy that was on McLean Stevenson, mm-hmm. who was the Commander Henry Blake, once he left and Larry Linville were gone, the show just wasn't as good. And
for a while, too. That's not a
no. They, and
it's
the
a comic
lasted,
book. It's more like a drama.
The show lasted another 10 seasons.
Yeah, it was huge.
But it just wasn't as good of a show.
Okay. No, that was really. I mean, I think the finale was one of the most watched shows ever. Or something. Yeah, am I wrong in saying that?
It wasn't. It was a little too dramatic. It was kind of.
It was a big send off. But
it
was
a little too dramatic for me. It was just too. You know what? I want my finales to be. To like actually finish something.
Well, most finales, most finales don't end up well. There's a few. Some of the shows do have it.
Some try to set up sequels. Some try to set up spinoffs. I personally think that you should do a finale like Seinfeld did it and just end it. Whatever you think of Seinfeld, nobody really said, oh, they're going to come up. That set up an Elaine show. You know what I'm saying? It just didn't happen.
Well, it kind of did because not that it never happened. It obviously never happened, but it's like, oh, you're going to jail for X amount of time.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree.
It made it seem as to if they're going to come back in whenever their jail sentence is over.
Like a reunion kind of thing.
Right. Either or the
there was some setup
continues
there.
Another way. They leave it open to a possibility.
I thought it was a good fit. As far as finales go, because Sopranos to me was...
Oh, that was a disaster.
That was a disaster.
The Lost one, whatever.
That was a disaster. Epic proportions.
It's... That kind of stuff is just like, oh, so I'm really wondering what a couple of our favorites are going to do in their last shows, but
yeah, well, a couple hours have ended up.
What do you think of the Breaking Bad?
Well, we'll get to that. George, was your CSI your top pick? I know Breaking Bad, we can talk about that, but was okay.
Yeah, it was CSI. Because I mean, I like Breaking Bad as much as you did, but since you were going to discuss it in detail, I figured at least I would throw in.
Okay, I just want to be sure. I didn't want me to leave you out.
Did you want to talk about another show that you had?
I talked about CSI.
Well, Spartacus, I think we should dedicate a full show to Spartacus. I don't want to shortchange it like that, in my opinion, anyway.
Relax.
We'll do Real Mentor Special Spartacus.
No, I didn't even bring Once Upon a Time on here.
I didn't even mention it. I wasn't even going to mention it.
But just in case, because I know you were going to throw it out there.
I'm better than that, dude. Come on. Yeah. we evolved in this show, too, dude.
You know? Yeah, no, I'm glad.
Maybe in the finale we'll bring it up.
That one is by the creators of Lost. So, I mean, you can see.
That alone is worthy not to see that stupid show. But whatever. It is too.
You saw how it was CSI anyway. Okay. I know you're going to talk about Breaking Bad. We'll get to that. I enjoyed that too. So.
Okay. Mike, we'll start with you because your show is still currently on. Your favorite, of course, no surprise, is
Game of Thrones,
of course. Which
I mean, I think we... The fact that we have a show dedicated to Game of Thrones recaps is pretty obvious why it's such a great show.
Oh, it's a great show. I'm not
iconic characters, excellent story writing.
Okay, go ahead.
Why are you making a face about iconic characters?
I don't know if it has iconic characters, to be honest with you.
Really?
I don't. Me personally. Who
Ramsay Bolton. Ned Stark.
He's not iconic.
Really, dude?
No. Ned Stark's not iconic.
Jon Snow?
Jon Snow? Come on, man. Daenerys Targaryen.
I don't know, be honest with you. What do you guys think? I mean, that's just my opinion. I'm not saying I'm wrong, right or wrong, but...
The dragons.
That's iconic. I'll give you that. I mean,
well, I don't know about iconic. I mean, definitely memorable. I'll give you that.
Oh,
yeah, and Spave is a huge... I am too, but he's a huge Game of Thrones fan. Yeah. So
Daenerys?
Tyrion?
Tyrion Lannister.
Tyrion Lannister.
He's the closest one. I don't think he's iconic. I think... There's a problem with the show. And you mentioned he's not iconic. My problem with he's not Mike. Come on, he's not
Robert Baratheon.
He's a hated villain, but he's not a great villain at the end of the day. Robert Baratheon, just
come on,
get out of here.
Nah, he died in the first season.
Was he in Spartacus too?
So, no.
My problem, I guess, is with the show. It goes back to the writing of the show. It doesn't allow it to have great characters. I think on the plus and minus side, people dying off is cool to see, but it takes away people you can follow.
I think that it lends itself to the storytelling. I think the storytelling is top notch. I think that
disagree 100% because there's even storylines in the show that you don't even like. Like Daenerys, who I like the storyline, you dismiss it. That show has a lot. The first four seasons of Jon Snow is a waste of time. It's undisputable. And so he's a waste of time. He's a boring character, did nothing. And I liked him when he kicked ass, but he just wasn't a great character. People knew Jon Snow. They liked him for it because he's a nice guy. And everyone's an asshole on that show. He's not a great character. He's just not. That show took too much from the books. It's better served, like we use Preacher for example, and not that as good a show as Game of Thrones, but I'm saying that show just pays homage to the source material, takes some things of it, but changes it around. Game of Thrones wanted to plagiarize what it had and doesn't lend itself to
great. Plagiarize? It's the name of the show is right. Based on
yeah, but and most books they get
no plagiarism.
How many more? Okay, of course
it's,
there is. Most storylines, right? They're not based. They're just doing what the book did.
They are not. There's a lot of stuff they did.
There's tons of it. I'm saying that show has too much going on and it's so convoluted sometimes. I think that's an issue with the writing. It's a lot of storylines going on and sometimes too much from a writing standpoint. And as soon as you took the books away, they have no idea what the hell was going on, which was the pace change and all that. People liked it. I liked it too. I like the change pace. Doesn't mean it was a great show because it moved faster.
The last two episodes were two of the greatest conjoined episodes in the history of TV.
I agree. I agree 100% with that last thing with the last two episodes. As far as going to Jon Snow being a boring character.
He was a boring character. It's inarguable.
I don't know if it was in season four necessarily when he started to come up with the whole whatever was going on.
He was boring.
To me, he was boring and he changed. He became an interesting character he became a good storyline when he met Ygritte. Then he became...
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
And he damn well didn't know shit. And he was an uninteresting character and storyline until she came along.
So it took a while for him to get going. Are we agreeing?
Obviously, yes. Oh,
okay, that's what I'm saying. I said that towards the end I liked him, but he's still a very boring character.
I don't know if that was season four, though. I think Ygritte came in before.
I'm not sure.
She came like season two or season three.
Yeah.
About, right?
It was season three, actually.
Towards the end of season three. I forget when it was.
Well, when she came in, it's when he became interesting.
She made him interesting. It took someone else.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was on his own merit. He's an interesting character.
I agree.
But again, he's not iconic. I don't think there's any iconic characters in that show. There's good characters. I like Tyrion too, but Tyrion's another guy who people love, but didn't do a whole lot. But getting himself, he went.
I don't know. He's had some good.
He talked a good game, but he kept going backwards and backwards and backwards. I like Love Littlefinger. Guess the guy who behind the scenes did what Tyrion tried to do. You know, he's a good character. But he's not iconic though. Yeah. At the end of the day, he's not iconic.
Bruce Bolton, very good character.
Yeah, not iconic.
Ned Stark, an awesome character. Dude, I'm just telling you.
Back me up, Fabe. You got to back me up in this party.
I agree. It has great storytelling. It has a lot of the tropes that are things that we look for in that make a great TV show and even movie. But in this case, a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
It has great writing. It does have great characters. It has great story. The production value is through the roof. Sometimes I watch that and I'm like, I forget I'm watching a TV show and it's not a movie.
Agree.
I think it's up there. A lot with all those things, but I wouldn't go as far as to say any of the characters are necessarily iconic. I think the ones that out of all ones that you've mentioned, none of them. If I can give you one to help you out, at least throw you some a bone, I would actually end it with Cersei. I think a very strong female character, one that you know you hate her because she is a bitch. But at the same time, you can't help but root for her, even though she just blew up everybody or whatever the case may be going on. you're like, damn, what a bitch, but damn, you love her.
Do you root for her?
You know,
I root for her. Do people root for her? I don't know. I'm not saying, yeah, no, I'm just saying, do people really root for her, though?
I do. I think.
I thought the last two episodes is the pinnacle of her.
I think she's the show's best villain. Even more so than Ramsay and Joffrey.
Well, she just stepped up as the villain.
I think you have...
Then it became Ramsay. Now she's taking that mantle.
I think Joffrey and Ramsay were great hated villains.
Yes.
But when you think... When we had a show about that, Joker, Hannibal Lecter, mm-hmm. Vader. Mm-hmm. We don't dislike those guys. We love those guys as villains. No one loves Joffrey. He's hated. He makes a good villain just from that standpoint. And right. Ramsay's an asshole dick. But he's not a great villain. Right. Like in the vein of these other great villains are, we want to like our villains. Like with Cersei, I can see your point.
I think
she's probably the best villain because you do kind
of. Something that Game of Thrones does well and why they aren't iconic villains because there are things about their personalities that people like and identify with, and there's so much going on in every single show that it isn't like.
That goes back to a convolution where it spreads itself a little too thin. It doesn't give opportunity to give you great characters because they're either dying off or they give you 5 minutes of a show, and it happens. And we can look at it, I promise you that, because 5 minutes of a character per show, sometimes they're not even shown for two or three shows. And it's hard to build that iconic status when they're not a consistent part of the show.
I challenge you to find two connected episodes that are better than those two episodes.
I wouldn't say connected. I would just say two continuous.
Right.
Just continuous, right. Like from 9 and 10. You know,
yeah.
Right back that's to that. Tough to say, to be honest with you.
No, I agree with that.
I'm not saying it's not, but we just saw him. It's a great knee-jerk reaction to something you just saw.
No.
Of course, no. Absolutely. No. Awesome. Absolutely.
That's, no. I mean, just on episode 9 alone. Because
I get my problem with 9. Dude, I love 9. You had problems with episode 9?
No, I had problems with HBO Go. To watching it. I couldn't see it. Okay. I didn't get to see it till like 11:30.
I love episode 9. It was just too predictable for me to be a great episode up there. I liked it.
I ended up watching
nothing happened that show that we hadn't called weeks before. It was like it was status quo an episode. It just played out really well.
And I was so pumped up after watching that episode.
I like something.
Give
me something a little bit different. In the last two episodes, nothing new except for Arya, which I hated. Nothing was new. We knew Viserys and Cersei. We knew she was going to blow up the fire. Nothing surprised. We knew this guy, the kid, was going to die.
We knew that she was going to blow that.
We were talking about that weeks before, dude. We don't know. Yet. And they alluded to it coming in. So it was no shocker. It's like, it was cool how it played out. And it looked great.
Yeah.
But hey, come on. We all knew what was happening. Percent of people knew what was going on. I've been talking about for weeks at work about this exact same scenario. Daenerys lashed out on the ship. Big deal. We've seen that 8,000 times in the show. Jon Snow winning. Who cares? Ramsay dying. We knew that. And you think he was going to die. We all knew he was going to die. The fire and the sparrow all dying. Nothing was new. It didn't give us nothing new. Littlefinger coming in the last second. We've been calling that since we did a prediction show before the beginning of the, like 3 months ago. That's we knew true. That was going to happen. So I'm saying, they played out great. And it was great. However, it gave us nothing surprising. I was like, all right. Great. Perfect. I knew exactly what meal I was getting. They prepared it exactly the way I wanted. And that's fantastic. Surprise me a little bit. That's all I'm saying. This is why I'm not ready to say it's the best two, not the best two, but the knee jerk is really fast. People see LeBron James, the greatest player of all time, forgot how Michael Jordan years ago because people
spoke. LeBron James, the greatest basketball player of all time.
A lot of people today.
A lot of people say that.
The
youngins.
Oh, of course. It's all.
They all do. I'm not wrong. I'm not saying that. But they'll jump in because they just focus on what they just finished watching. Right. And it's a natural reaction. Yeah. It's easy. And if you think back, oh, wait a minute, what about X, X, and X before we make that kind of statement? Maybe a recent memory could have been some of the best. Yeah. But it happens.
That's what I'm saying. Like Magic Johnson, Burton, Jordan, all three of them better basketball players than
LeBron. Well, let's not even get into that conversation.
Some people see Team USA and they're like, oh, this is the greatest of all time.
Relax. We know. But
I'm looking at that 92 Dream Team.
I know, but then, listen, we're not going there. Let's not have a sports discussion. That's a 3-hour show. Yeah. But again, just lend yourself to the point being we always focus on what we just saw.
We
forget about what there's like 100 other TV shows that gave us great stuff. I'm not saying this isn't right or wrong, but let's calm down with that kind of speak, especially for me when it's something so predictable. Okay, that's what I'm saying. I didn't say I didn't like it. I'm just saying it's not the greatest show of the whole time. Okay, Fabian, now by yourself, what is your top dog?
Mine's is The Shield.
Yes.
As I'm sure many have seen. I don't know.
Maybe not, to be honest.
If you haven't, you should definitely check it out. It's on FX. They produced the Sons of Anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely great writing. Going back to what Mike was saying as far as for, I believe he said, was it The Wire? that it was, or I believe that's what he said.
Yeah.
And how it like, oh, it showed different the police procedurals and everything else. I think the Shield actually did it first. maybe they didn't do it better. I think they probably did it as good because you had the blues or the uniforms that were out, squad cars. You had the detectives, you know, investigating homicides. And then you also had the other detectives, which were doing drugs and gang
relations. Strike team.
Right, the strike team, which is one of the main characters. And, you know, you hadn't seen anything like that before on TV, how realistic it was, how gritty it was. You hadn't seen those different angles all in one show. It was usually one or the other. And even then, it wasn't like, oh, look, there's a dead body. They didn't show it to you, or you wouldn't see like the violence that it had. Mm-hmm. You know, all of that. And even now, the style that it had and the writing that we have now in this era, golden era of TV, as we're calling it, was started by The Shield. And their style is still used by many TV shows, Breaking Bad or other shows that you may talk about, The Wire, Oz, so on and so forth. So to me, that's what a TV show has to do. Has to have a few things: writing, acting, story, characters. I think most of all, where I put it top is, influential. Right. It has to be influential.
Yeah, and I think that's what we've been talking about, Undertone, the whole time.
Right,
we've
exactly.
We've been talking about if it's an influential character, if it has a good story, if it has a good writer, a good director. And I think so far the shows that we've picked all have that.
Right, and it's just a matter of, too, like with Game of Thrones, Mike seems to think that the writing is on point, has all of these. I think The Shield has all of them, but to me, priority more than what Game of Thrones has is, or that doesn't have, is influence. It hasn't, at least we haven't seen anything yet, Game of Thrones influence anything. Not yet.
Agreed.
The Shield has influence, and not just for TV. It could be, the influence could be for TV, it could be for society, cultural, pop culture, whatever you want to call it. That's why earlier one of my honorable mentions, and you guys kind of laughed at, was Miami Vice. Because culturally, it had a huge impact.
It did.
With style, with music. You know, clothes, music.
Yeah.
I mean, it drove people in hordes down to Miami because they wanted to see, you know, the nice beach. And at the same time,
Don Johnson drive up in a Ferrari.
In a Ferrari. Yeah, all of that
stuff.
Buying
the shirt, you know, right? Pastel shirt.
The jacket. The shoes with no socks.
No socks, yeah.
You know, all of that came from there. You know, it didn't come out. It wasn't the other way around. It was the show first and then influence.
No, I agree. 100%. Yeah, yeah.
The other thing that they did was the overarching story arc. While there were individual each episode was an individual episode, there was an arc that was running through all the episodes.
Right, so which, right, at the end of the
season.
Yeah.
Every season they would resolve that.
Correct. At the end of the first season, or during the first season, where the captain in Miami Vice was, you know, he noticed, like, he had his kid in a private school, and he was saying, he was kind of like, how are you paying for that? And he's kind of like brushed it off. And then by the end of the season, they find out he was embezzling money or something like that.
Right.
And then that's when they bring in Edward James Olmos as the new captain and so on. But yeah, my top show is The Shield for that reason. I think influential to TV extremely. We still see it all the time.
Huge.
Writing, character, you name it, it has it.
See, we didn't even mention, you know, about even though The Shield, 21 Jump Street. Because they
put
those cop procedural shows.
Yeah, I mean, apples and oranges. But yeah, we're not going to put that in the same.
No, it's not in the same. It's not in the same league. But right. With Miami Vice, I'm talking about, you know, there was a Miami Vice, but then you also had, you know, it was for a different.
There's always different cop shows. It has been for a while.
You know, I'm talking about like different demographic though.
Yeah, that one was more for teens. It's obviously, teens,
yeah,
like, yeah, it was, you know, teen, like it was teen one. Right. Yeah, it was more like undercover kind of.
But the thing with, but going back to the show, because you're right, the influence was, which is why I was teetering on them, on the one show, because I mean that was a game changer for TV. We alluded to it when we talked about Netflix a couple episodes back, where it gave us a 13 episode story arc, which is every show does that. It gave us that grit and that way it's filmed, which most shows do now. Mm-hmm. The violence, the graphic nature, which we see now it's commonplace.
Correct.
If The Shield would have come out now, I'd be like, big deal. But back then, you didn't see shows like that. And
shows are 26 episode seasons.
Exactly. Too long.
Yeah,
too complex. Too much. This was concise.
It was
24. Is it 24?
Somewhere around there.
24 was the number.
Like exactly. 22, 24.
Depends on the show. Even the show 24. Because it was one season, an hour.
Some went 26, 20, some went 27. It ranged from there, but it was never 10, 13 episodes like The Shield was. And it also, I think, even when, like, someone like, it gave us the anti-hero.
Yes.
For the first time, especially in a cop show. And I remember, because that pilot for The Shield is the best pilot I've ever seen, period. And when he shoots the cop, you're like, whoa, yeah. What the hell are we watching? It is like totally different from what we've ever seen before. Mm-hmm. And now you're rooting for a guy who's not really a good guy.
Right.
Now mm-hmm. we see it all the time, whether it be right. Breaking Bad, for example, Game of Thrones. Right. We like someone that we like Cersei, of course. We just talked about that. We're cheering for Mike, for Mick Vac, Big Mackie, who I loved. Yeah, the strike team was great. Yeah. And it's the guy that we shouldn't be cheering for, right. But we are. And that was the first of his kind and all that. And it paved the way for the golden age of TV, in my opinion, because now, I remember all the shows were just broadcast TV. When that came out, FX continued with Nip Tuck and Sons of Anarchy.
They pushed the envelope toward network TV. Network TV right now is lost.
Yeah,
that's no idea what's going on. They're flailing around trying to make money on reality TV shows. And they're very rarely putting a dramatic show out that people are interested in.
And they missed the boat. And I think that's when FX did more shows. AMC started doing shows. And A&E, of course, we have FX, a couple.
Even Sons of Anarchy.
USA TNT, who, again, was strictly syndicated movies only. Now they're all – because now the show was very successful commercially but critically. And I was like, oh, okay, then we can do that too. And they can push the envelope because it's not regular network TV and take chances because at the end of the day, it doesn't cost a lot of money. And then now everyone does it. Now it's routine. We see it all the time now. And that's because of the Shield and the success that it had.
Even like MTV has dramatic shows.
Of course,
there. Not that they're good or not.
They're not good, but they're doing it.
No, but like Teen Wolf.
Yeah, they're for the niche market. Yeah.
We talked about Sons of Anarchy. They had every actor in the Shield.
Yeah, and that's true. And even a finale. And speaking of finale, the Shield did one of the rare ones that ended very well. And those last two episodes, I'm not saying it is. I could argue were as good as the Game of Thrones ones in terms of the dramatic impact that it had. But it ended But it ended really, really well. Perfect story arcs. Yeah. And that's exactly
one of the best. What we were saying, where I was kept saying, like, oh, a lot of TV shows endings don't always pay off. Mm-hmm. This one is actually one of the exceptions that does pay off. It ends justifiably so. Yeah. You know, each person everybody gets their dues. Mm-hmm.
What we're looking for, and I think what you're mentioning, is when a loop completes itself, right?
Sure.
When you're watching a finale and you feel like that was a finale, it's the
closure.
For a show.
Closure. Right. Yeah.
And I think that's what people want. People don't want to go like, what the?
They don't want the vagueness like what Sopranos gave you. Give me an ending. Don't cop out. Give me an ending to the story. You gave us the story. Finish it. And now it's like Sopranos failed and Lost failed. Right. But the Shield, like, the shows do it too, not just the Shield. But Shield did really well. And that went through. You alluded to it last week. It survived that writer strike.
Yes.
Because I was right in the middle of cut season 6 short because of it. Right. And it could have really tanked.
Yes.
But it came back strong in season 7. And a good actor, Forrest Whitaker, which you talked about earlier. He was in that show. He was awesome. I got close.
In season also 4.
In the show. Yeah, she was in there. So that show had a lot of clout. And that for me, I was super, I would have picked that. If you hadn't picked it, I would have picked it for those same reasons. Fantastic show. That's one, unfortunately, can't see on Netflix or Hulu. I don't think Crackle had some episodes in there. But Hulu. Is it on Hulu? I'm not sure.
It's on Crackle. I know
it's on Crackle, but Crackle never puts the full season. They put like a 4 or 5 seasons only and they'll randomly put it on.
We forget to mention the actor who played Shane.
Walter Goggins. Yeah. Who's an underrated actor. And Hateful Eight was the best part, I thought, personally. Justified.
You remember David Acevedo?
Yeah, he's done voice.
Oh, yeah.
He's done voice. CCH Pounder.
Benito Martinez, he played the mayor and Captain Acevedo for like a little bit.
Yeah.
And you had CCH Pounder.
And I had that scene with where he put a gun to his head.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't want to say, but that show really pushed the envelope like we've never seen before. Even still, we haven't seen stuff like that, to be honest with you.
Strike team get killed. Remember when Ronnie died?
Oh, yeah. Lemmy.
With Lem.
He died.
Biggest surprise I've ever seen. That was brutal. That show was brutal. Fantastic show.
Actually, that character of CCH, that CCH Pounder plays, it was supposed to be a guy.
That's right.
And then because she came in and she was like such a strong character, like female character, like they decided to change her into
She evolved well in that show.
You had Anthony Anderson in that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was the villain in season 3.
It was Antoine.
Yeah, 3. I came in season 4. He popped up down the road.
He was in jail.
Yeah, he's like, he helped him out. That's true, Antoine. That's right. Good call with that, yeah, great show. I wish that was on Netflix. I wish people could get more access to that show because one.
It's one of those classics.
Space Ace, but the casual folk who don't know how to navigate through there, which is a lot, can't. Right. It's not like you jump on Netflix or Amazon Prime, put it on.
Female
characters
that were strong too.
Yeah, even the female cop.
But if you want, I think the first 3 or 4 seasons are on Crackle. So
are they? I'm not sure. I checked before. I think I know Crackle randomizes sometimes episodes, but yeah, he's get a head start on it. The first They're all good as far as I'm concerned, the season wise. The pilot's fantastic. I mean, you watch the you're hooked. You're like, okay, this is not.
This is a
totally different kind of show you're watching.
I had never seen anything. I never watched anything on TV that had me like, oh my God, I got to watch it again next week. Like, oh my God, what's going to happen?
I was hyped when I first showed it.
That was
and I caught it live because the promo was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I watched it. I was like, oh, shit. I tell my friends, oh, you got to see the show, man. It's awesome.
All right, so Jose, what's your show?
My way, Man George is the same one. I know you mentioned CSI, but you want to talk about Breaking Bad.
Yeah. To me, for the five seasons that it was on, I think by far one of the better shows.
One of my personal favorites. I know most people are too, and I think that show, because for me, again, I go back to writing, and for me, I think it's perfect writing, but it's as close to perfect writing as I've seen on most shows.
And it was one of those shows that it started slow and then it picked up steam. Like a lot of people didn't want to see it at first.
They didn't know what it was, and then it got
with each season, it got better.
Exactly.
And again, I think part of it is also they kind of let the directors and the showrunners took their hands off the wheel and let Cranston do his thing.
Yes.
And I think that really pushed the show up to the next level. I think it's a very good show.
Now it's a Better Call Saul. Going to surpass it?
No. Relax. Let's not get crazy. But again, it's a show that gave us, Heisenberg is iconic as far as I'm concerned. There's no question about
Heisenberg
that.
Heisenberg is iconic.
That's probably one of the best villains we've ever seen. He's still a villain. He's a protagonist.
But you wanted to cheer for him. Right.
Of course. But and then talk about for writing the arc, and he had an ending in mind, taken from one point A to point B, and that progression. We've never seen a character have that kind of arc, and I haven't. Maybe I might be wrong. I haven't seen a character go through that kind of arc, a main character in a TV show like that. Start off one way, end up like that. The main character anyway. I might be wrong. I'm just saying.
No, but he started as
I don't know.
That wasn't a thing.
Maybe wrong. I'm not sure. But him, he's a teacher. He's some.
Yeah, he started as a character that a lot of people would cheer for.
Yeah, and at the end of the show,
some people hated him.
He's an evil bastard. And it's like that went complete 180, which you don't see. The show is very cinematic, the way it's filmed. A lot of big time. Ryan Johnson, for example, directed some of the best episodes, who's now doing episode 8, Star Wars, and all that. Fought with the female was, who's doing Wonder Woman, or was going to do Wonder Woman. But a lot of big time directors do the show. The cinematography is fantastic on the show, a lot of cool shots and all that. Great characters. Saul, love Saul. I mean, that's love Mike
Badger,
Skinny Pete, and Gus, who I thought was an awesome villain.
We all forget about Jesse.
Yeah,
Aaron Paul. We all forget about him. He was supposed to die at the end of season two.
Yeah, then they kept him on.
They kept him on because Aaron Paul was such a good actor.
I didn't like the actor, not the character. So much. I thought he should have died. I understand why they kept him on, and it didn't take anything away from the show. If anything, it actually did.
Had a Skyler, Anna Gunn.
Because they gave us that relationship, that kind of father son thing with Walter and him, which I think was influential on the show, which made a big deal because Gus took advantage of that. And to me, it's one of my favorite season finales when Gus died. That was awesome. I mean, when he went down.
It was very iconic.
Yeah, we had Uncle Theo with the bell. Theo with the bell. My God, just the crazy characters that they had on that show. I mean, just the weird things in that show that kind of worked. It's quirky in his ways, but it worked. Hank was fantastic on that show as well, underrated. That Ozymandias, which is, I think, the third to last episode, is probably one of my favorite TV shows episodes, period. How that played out. Speaking of best show on the show, back to back wise, but that particular episode was considered one of the best of all time. It's actually won the Emmy for that. But for me, just again, the writing and the acting in the show, it was.
Always enjoyed Mike.
Mike, the world's greatest granddad.
Jonathan Banks,
that's right.
I always did like Mike.
Yeah, it's a great character. And I give us that. The Heisenberg alone is the iconic. He's an iconic figure. And then I don't think Big Mackey reached those heights. He could have. He should have,
but he has, and I don't think he won't.
He won't, but he should have. I love Big Mac. He has like two of my favorite characters are him and Heisenberg together. You know, I go back and forth who I liked more, to be honest with you. But to me, that's for sure, hands down, my favorite show anyway. The best show. We can argue that the cows come home and all that. But and the thing is, all these are great shows. And that's the beauty of it. And anybody out there who hasn't seen these shows, what the hell's wrong with you?
We have shows that we can talk about.
Like, of course, because we could argue four or five shows as being the best.
15 years ago, you wouldn't have those shows.
No, I agree.
My TV watching experience 15 years ago was sports. That's it.
Yeah, and sitcoms. I think
not even
early on, I think sitcoms dominated most of network TV.
I didn't
watch them, but I saw a bunch of them.
I watched whatever was on ESPN, a tractor pull or a freaking Australian rules football.
Yeah. but there's a lot of good shows. Mad Mentors, like Mad Men, right. that came out, and that was another good show. And you know, we mentioned Sons of Anarchy.
Nip Tuck was a great show. Americans,
Rescue Me, the Americans. Rescue Me was a really good show, too, and people don't talk about. Homeland. Came out on FX.
Homeland's
another good show. Yeah, and it's a lot of good TV. I mean, you could argue five or six shows easily.
No, there's good Strike Back with. There's a bunch.
There's tons of. Even now, Netflix doing what they're doing. You know, they're giving us great quality, right. which 10 years ago, we're like, what? Yeah, right.
I mean,
House of Cards, the Marvel series, whatever.
I know it's like we were talking about all these iconic characters, but, you know, with all these like things that we were talking about with FX, with AMC, you know, with the Hulu, with Amazon, all these network things that they're doing, you think it's time for us to cut the cord from cable?
No doubt.
I think right now they kind of are holding you hostage to keep cable. Because
cable's unnecessary at the end of the day.
It is, but if you're streaming a lot of Netflix or Amazon Prime, you're going to get nailed by your internet company, which is generally your cable company.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen is you will have to still pay the same amount for your streaming because they're going to charge you more for your streaming time.
Of course, they got to make it subsidized.
So instead, you get unlimited streaming if you have cable.
Yeah, because now they have like HBO Go. They have every little network.
I think what you got to do is take like the most basic package that cable offers and throw it down with the internet.
Right.
Because we still need that, unfortunately. Right. But network TV will never die. I'm not saying it's going to be the end of network TV or even cable, to be honest with you.
I think good network programming is dead.
It's dead. They just don't know what they're doing. They're too safe. They pull the trigger way too quick. Some of the shows are talking about, you know, these shows on network TV, they would have been pulled first two seasons.
Yeah,
easily. And would have messed out some great television.
One of the most famous ones of that is Firefly.
Yes, that's right. They pulled that.
That's
like
the most famous one of that of all time.
Yeah, it's too quick sometimes. They give the show a chance to breathe and, you know, it's going to grow
and
organically.
Even Fox, who.
It's always Fox.
ABC, even Hannibal was doing really good. They pulled down. That was a decent show.
Hannibal was a very good show.
And they pulled
Hannibal?
They canceled it.
Now it's on. Now Amazon took over.
No, they canceled it before season 3 was even over.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
The problem is that for them, it's all about ratings. They don't care. FX doesn't care. They know they're not going to get monster rating. AMC, even Breaking Bad, that was the lowest
rated
show.
But
they left it on. And then it blew up.
They reshow the show ad nauseum and people watch it.
Of course.
And you know what? The night the show debuts may not be the highest rated show time for the show. A couple other rewatches are on and they're taking market share away from
and that's
some bull crap that's on USA.
Yeah, and that's what we were saying. AMC, you know, like with Breaking Bad, they were like those seasons, they picked up steam as they went along.
Right.
It got more buzz.
People start talking about it. It happens to a lot of shows too. But
Game of Thrones is a great example.
It's another one that they started off kind of, they didn't know what it was and it picked up. It just happens. Network TV, they'll pull the plug because they got to make money. They got to advertise. These other cables, they don't care. And they don't take chances. And these AMCs and the FX, they put up that little shield and
I think it's Nip Tuck.
Those are like really like cutting edge shows in terms of what they show on TV. You know,
TV, honestly, it's never going to go away.
It's not going to go away.
But I think it's going to turn into reality shows and sitcoms only.
I'd be curious if they start partnering up with like Netflix and all that, maybe share some of the money, some of the glory. I don't know. They got to compete. Netflix takes a lot of business away and so does Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. And they got great
Hulu.
Hulu. They all get new, really good shows coming out.
My biggest issue with Hulu is the commercials. I can't deal with those stupid commercials.
No, I agree. If I want to stream it, I don't want commercials.
Yeah, it's the same. If I'm paying for a streaming service, why am I getting it?
Exactly.
And I think that's why we talked about Netflix, the influence that it has.
Of course. It's just a game changer.
Binge commercials. You know, a lot of people, I mean, I'm recording shows, you know, with the commercials.
I think Netflix, like we talked before.
I fast forward through the commercials.
Netflix to me is like the shield of, you know, it changed the game, like the show changed the game for TV moving forward. And Netflix is, forget about it. Nothing's going to be the same after Netflix. It is not.
I mean, you know, they even talked about now that Netflix is raising their rates. Yeah, for 4K, you know.
Oh, yeah. $2.
Well, I
paid it.
For 4K, I would pay it for 4K, too.
Yeah,
$2. It was at $7.99, and then...
No, it was $9.99. Before it was $7.99. Yeah, now it's $9.99.
Now it's $9.99, yeah.
If you want 4K, it's $11.99.
Even $12.99 is reasonable.
Yeah, I'm paying $11.99. Yeah, I'll give my 4K. Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, it's still worth it.
You got a 4K TV, why would you want to pay $2?
I think the HBO...
$24 a year? Really?
If you want the HD package on your regular cable... you're paying $12 a month plus,
upcharges.
HBO app, the boxes and remote controls.
Yeah, now we were talking about.
If you sneeze, they charge you for it. It's ridiculous.
They charge you for independent receivers. Oh, they charge you a remote fee.
And you want DVR? It's the nickel and dime you for all this crap.
Yeah, exactly.
And people kind of, it's like people pay $20 for get the hell out of here. Plus Netflix, plus Amazon Prime.
Right. So you end up the average price right now, if you want a good streaming service, you're going to end up paying basic cable and internet about $75-$80.
Yeah, but see, they stiff you with that. Like, if you, let's say you
download, well, you have to get it.
Yeah, you have to get the best package so that your internet goes down. You know, because they try to, you know, like, oh, you're getting all those channels. So, like, yeah, you get all those channels, so we'll make the internet cheaper because you got the best package.
Right.
But if you got the worst package, then we stiff you for internet. Yeah, yeah.
That's, I agree. You know, but again,
that's why.
Yeah. But we'll see how it goes in the future. I think it's... Because in 5 years, what actually happens with the cable television and all that. So, but as of now, it's definitely going downhill. But either way, that's all the time we got today. So I think it was a good show.
Yes.
Good shows, actually. Yeah. I know this is the second part of the two-part series. No, we'll get back to movies next time we jump on all that. Mike, it's...
My strong suit.
I think everyone's strong suit. Mike, I want to wish you an early birthday. But, you know, what time we get back on, you'll be older. Another year. I'm sure you're very excited about that.
Yeah.
Anybody, he's like the Obi-Wan of the show, you know.
Right.
You know, so you know, there you go. You know,
I'm 42.
Hey, Mike's 42. Congratulations. but happy birthday to you. Hope you enjoy
your push.
I know he's got his vacation coming up. Enjoy, big guy. You know, be safe out there.
See my daughter Crystal. My cousin's getting married, so we're gonna go to a wedding up there. We got a bunch of plans. We're gonna have a great time. Go to my old hometown, thumbs up Traverse City, Michigan.
Looking
forward to it.
Well, hope you enjoy. We'll see you in a couple weeks, I guess, you know.
Yeah. Oh, don't want to be remiss and not mention girlslife.com, GIRLZLYFE.com. Killing it with socks right now. I'm selling Donald Trump socks that have the hair.
Oh, God.
Kind of hanging off the
I don't have the words.
The sock. selling D&D a lot of backpacks,
Trump
a lot of Star
show.
Wars backpacks, Hello Kitty backpacks.
We do
good
give
with
you
that stuff.
Yeah, I'll give you that. George, quick plugs. I know we're short on time here.
Nah, man. Just like I said, make sure you guys catch the Foreign Corner. I appreciate that you guys are listening to it.
Yep.
You know, make sure you guys catch the Foreign Corner, you know, for everything that's cooking.
I'm your biggest fan, George. Well, I'm literally biggest.
He is the biggest fan.
Yeah, literally.
He is the mountain of the fandom, if you will.
Yeah, no, but like I said, I appreciate the support that's been coming in from the Foreign Corner.
Yeah, keep it up, man. Doing good.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, just make sure you leave a review on iTunes or anywhere that you're listening to us, because you know that lets us know what it is that we're doing. I mean, if we stink, if we're good or whatever, just let us know.
We don't smell.
You know what I mean? Like, we're not good. Right? You know, like, yeah. If you know our show is good or bad or whatever, just let us know.
Oh, wait, I wanted to give a shout out to our intro and outro band, Barbara Floyd. Really like
that.
Oh, that's right. I just
For Barbara Floyd, like you know, I'm glad that you mentioned them because I was going to give a plug out to them. You know, for letting them the song that we had last episode, it was Countrywide. You know, the song, the title is Countrywide.
We think it's kind of apropos for
It kind of fits us because you know we're on different states. You know, we're trying to go countrywide. I mean,
like it.
We could put like worldwide, like Pitbull. But, you know,
relax, Mike will have a heart attack. That happens.
Dale. But I thought you know countrywide kind of fits us. So I mean, I hope it wasn't too much of a.
I thought it was great.
You know, Kevin is you know he's been cool to us. He's been very good for letting us use his music.
Let's not dismiss Kevin though. I still like Kevin's song though.
Oh no, it's a cool song. Maybe we can use it as an outro.
Okay.
You know, like the
sounds good.
Sounds good to me. Yeah, whatever you want.
Know, so I wanted you guys to at least have an idea of what the other song was like.
Okay, no, that's fine.
But, you know, Fabian, thank you for coming again, man.
We appreciate it.
Having here, you know.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me back again for a second time. So.
Yeah, absolutely. We like returning guests, and we'll definitely bring you back on for special episodes. Yeah, I like people coming back. You did very well, so I appreciate you coming by and joining us and all that, giving your feedback. So well appreciated. I know you want to give me shout outs or anything. I know Lady Tinder's out there. Maybe you want to, you know, those who want to wear Lady Tinder, she is obviously one of the mainstays in our Ladies Night episode. Still one of our best episodes, probably the best episode we've done. It's out there. We got both parts out there if you guys listen to, and the audio has been cleaned up. Thank you, George, for that. Did a good job improving the audio, which has some issues with, but she was one of Fabian's favorites on the show, so you know, and he's still waiting, he's got his fingers crossed,
fingers crossed. But I just want to thanks to a couple of my friends who helped me, you know, we chatted over us to best TV show and why and so on, Victor and Shannon. And a show that she mentioned that is one of also her favorites, which she was right on the money with, was Fringe.
Good show.
Yeah, very, show. Very.
I'll give you that. Yeah.
I think it was that show, good. I think, went 6 or 7 seasons, by the way, which
yeah.
is
I think it went 5.
Weird to me. 5 or 6. No, it's still, that's a yeah. long time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. That's not. That's a good show. Yeah. That's a good
condition. That's a 24
yeah, season. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. It was, yeah. 5.
It was good.
5 seasons. Okay.
I knew it was a long.
Yeah, it was 100 episodes.
Yeah, that's good.
Pretty good.
That's right for syndication. 100 episodes.
I do want to just a quick show, which forgot to mention is Twilight Zone for me. That's
You
know
what I'm saying. I know we're in the show, but I have to bring that up. Right. I have to bring
that.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
I want to throw Mission Impossible on top of that too, which is another.
I never really saw the show, so I can't speak to that. But Twilight Zone.
Yeah. Great.
Phenomenal. Yeah. I love the show.
Writing is awesome.
It is. It's perfect. Some of the stories are taken to movies. This is great.
I don't even want
to
bring Unsolved Mysteries into this. Remember,
let's end that part out. We're going to end with Twilight Zone and you want to end it with Unsolved Mysteries. Oh my God.
No, I'll take it out.
I'll leave it later. But yeah, I have to mention Twilight Zone because I got to give it his due and all that. It is one of the all-time greats. There's no, I don't think there's any debate with that one. But either way, so I just had to mention that. But yeah, again, thanks for everybody coming by. We'll see you guys in episode 24. Have a good one.
Yeah.